Okay, so I had the privilege of this past month, well, it just came out in February, in the Hudson View. Anybody get the Hudson View? I wrote an article in there called The Greatest Act of Love. It's in there, and I wrote another one for next month, March. There's a woman, Doreen. She's always calling and asking, is there any changes to our advertisement that we have for the church there? So I had approached her about 3 months ago. I said, hey, would you mind if I wrote an article? And she said, no, that'd be good. So I did write one. It's called The Act of Love in John 15:13. It says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So this coming month, I wrote one, and it's called The Lordship of Jesus Christ. So if they put it in, it'll be in there. And so praise the Lord. You want to take every opportunity the Lord gives you to share the gospel, to edify the saints. It's so important in these days we live in, and we want to just keep going forward in Jesus Christ. So, we're going to be talking about future deliverance. We're in the Romans, the epistles to the Romans. Last week we ended off with chapter 8, verse 17, talking about adoption. We're adopted into the family of God, and as brothers and sisters in Christ, we have an adopted position. And we praise the Lord for that adopted position. As I mentioned last week, we're children of God by regeneration and sons and daughters of God by adoption. We're regenerated by the work of the Holy Spirit, and then we're placed into the family of God as adopted sons and daughters. Now, what he's going to be talking about here, Paul, is about there's an aspect of adoption that I covered last week that we have an aspect of redemption that we haven't experienced yet. That's the adoption of our bodies. We are redeemed, and that's the position we have, and we're regenerated, and we praise the Lord for that. But you and I know that probably some of us have aches and pains once in a while, right? You and I know that. It happens. It generally happens as we get older, but it could happen at any age. We have things in our bodies. Let me just reassure you as we start this message. One day, we're going to have glorified bodies, fashioned like His glorious body. We do not have them yet, but that day is coming. What a glorious day that will be. And praise the Lord for that. So Paul is writing about that here in this section we're going to look at today, chapter 8, verse 18 to 25. A great day is coming. We touched a little bit in our Sunday school class about the rapture and Christ coming. We know Jesus is coming back. The dead in Christ are going to rise. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it talks about that. Then we that are alive and remain are going to be caught up. What a glorious day that will be. We don't set dates. I know people have set dates. Don't ever set a date, because if you set a date, you're going to be a false prophet. And there's many of them that have gone out into the world. But we can say He's coming. We can say that with assurance based on the Word of God. And we know that's going to happen. Jesus said in the upper room prior to His crucifixion, He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. For were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, ye may be also. So we know He's coming back someday. What a glorious day that will be. So, a great day is coming when deliverance will come. And we thank the Lord for the deliverance. Now, certainly we have an aspect of deliverance right now. We're going to have the Lord's table. We've been delivered from our sins when Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. But the aspect of it is the deliverance from suffering. You know, as I stand here preaching, there's people that would love to be here with us. And I can name several of them. One of them is Bob Kivlin. Every time we see him or every time I talk to him, he says, I just praise the Lord. I never hear him complain, but he says, I praise the Lord. He says, you know, I think about you. I think about the church. I would love to be there with you. So since he can't be here with us, we take the church to him, so to speak, right? We go over there. And he loves it. And I always ask him, is there anything you need? Anything we can bring along? I know he drinks that Ensure. I think the higher calorie one. 250 is the highest one? 350, whatever it is? Huh? Strawberry 350. He loves strawberry. So if anybody wants to give him some strawberry Ensure 350, he'll do the others, of course, because I tried to get him one time. I couldn't get the 350. So anyway, praise the Lord. But remember him. And I think about suffering. I think about others that have gone through times. But believers in the Lord Jesus Christ have so much to look forward to. We have a lot to look forward to. We need to realize the promises of his words. Deliverance is coming. It's tough when people go through tough times. We never want to make light of people when they're going through trials or when they're having a tough time. We want to have what's called empathy, compassion for people that go through tough times. Every one of us here are affected by the fall. Everybody's affected by the fall. Every one of us. Both believer and non-believer alike. While the believer now enjoys the forgiveness of sins, he or she hasn't yet entered into the fullness of all of it yet, which we will. So that's what we want to look at here. And in verse 18, the Apostle Paul says here, he says, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." The suffering of this present time and the glorious future that awaits us. So often we can be caught up in the affairs of this life. I would just recommend all of us, including myself, be careful that you don't get wrapped up in the affairs of this life. It has a way of drawing you away from a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we want to be careful. And some of these are very good things. They're not bad in themselves. But we should never forget what awaits us. Whenever a person goes through suffering, the need is to stay focused on the Lord and on what God will do in providing for us in the future deliverance, and also the present grace that he'll enable us to live in this life. You may recall, and I referred to this last week, when the Apostle Paul had prayed about a thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He had a thorn in the flesh, and there's always been a discussion what that thorn is. Is it eyesight, malaria, some other physical ailment that he faced? He prayed three times. Now, the Lord did not deliver the thorn in the flesh, but he answered his prayer. He said, "Let my grace be sufficient for you." And God's grace would be sufficient. And in your weakness, you're going to be made strong. And praise the Lord for that. God, through very difficult times, used people during tough times. This past week, I was listening to on YouTube about Fanny Crosby. Everybody know Fanny Crosby? Fanny Crosby lived in 1820. She was born. She went home to be with the Lord in 1915. She was 95 years old. But at a young age, the doctor used some wrong medication on her eyes, and she became blind. The doctor left town, by the way. Okay. But instead of her feeling sorry for herself, she was used mightily of the Lord. And it was incredible. This woman had such musical talent that she was Era Sankey. You heard of Era Sankey? You heard of D.L. Moody? In the 1800s, Era Sankey was like the song leader for sort of like Cliff Burrows is to Billy Graham, or was to Billy Graham, sort of the song leader. And D.L. Moody was the evangelist in the late 1800s. And she wrote many hymns. One hymn I was reading, I call it the Right Triangle Hymn. Everybody know the Right Triangle Hymn? 3, 4, 5 Right Triangle. It's a famous triangle in mathematics. That's how I remember it. 345 is Blessed Assurance in the hymn book. That's the Right Triangle Hymn, my Right Triangle Hymn. Okay, if I go to another hymn book, I have to call it something else. But anyway, she wrote that. She wrote it in just a couple short time. She heard the tune. I don't know how these people do it. They hear a tune to something and they can fill the words into that tune. And we love singing that, Blessed Assurance. But she wrote that. She wrote many others. And praise the Lord how God used her. And one of the things she said, "Listen, when I'm able to see by sight," you know who the first one I'm going to see? Jesus. Amen? So, we go through tough times. but there's future deliverance. Now, we need to remember, not only did Paul pray three times, in the, we're doing in the Bible Institute the book of Daniel. There's three great men, well, Daniel, not including Daniel, there's three other great men mentioned in the book of Daniel. Who are they? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They would not bow down to the king's idol. And they were thrown into fiery furnace. And I love the statement that they made before they were thrown in. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, they made it very clear, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of this, out of your hand, thine hand, king, O king. But if not be, let it be known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve the gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast given here. See, he says, we will be delivered one way or the other. We're either going to be delivered in the furnace or out, or God's going to take them. But they were delivered in it. They didn't even smell like fire. Only thing that burned on them was what? The ropes. And when they looked, the king looked into the furnace, guess who he saw? Four. Who was the fourth one? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. It says, like the Son of God. And praise the Lord for that. So he'll deliver you. Don't be afraid. We expect it. He goes on here in verse 21, 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subject the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now, when did corruption happen? Huh? With the fall. We live in a fallen world. All we have to do is go back to Genesis. If you go back to Genesis, we find the first couple chapters we have a perfect world. But when we come to chapter 3 of Genesis, we find the serpent who comes to the earth, and of course, he says to Eve, hath God said? And of course we know that they fell into sin. And at that point, we have what's called theologically the fall of mankind, the fall. And the fall has affected everybody, everyone. It has affected the earth, it's affected the animal world, and it's affected us. Everybody's been affected by the fall. Okay? And therefore, the sin came into the world, and the sin of all of us. We were born in sin, as David mentions about being conceived that way. Only one person wasn't, other than Adam and Eve initially, Jesus Christ. He was not conceived in his mother's womb the way we were. The Holy One came over Mary, and of course, he's perfect God, perfect man. But the rest of us, we suffer. Even Jesus here on earth, because he lived on the earth, suffered because of the creation. He didn't suffer because of what he did, but it's because of the creation and the fallen world that we deal with. God established a sentence in Genesis 3. But you know, one day that's going to be removed. When's that going to be? It says in the book of Revelation near the end that the curse will be removed. And praise the Lord. We're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. This earth is going to be restored to a paradise. And we're going to have a perfect earth and a perfect heaven for all eternity. But we're living in a fallen world. As it says in Genesis, the curse came upon the earth in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 to 19. The creation keeps eagerly awaiting the time when the Lord will return. Are you waiting for Jesus to come back? Hallelujah. Amen. I am. Not because I don't enjoy being a believer and enjoy this world in which I live in, but I know something's coming a lot better. And praise the Lord. So where should we put our focus? We should put our focus on the things of God. I think it was 8 years, if I'm correct, this past week that Nancy Klum went home to be with the Lord. Am I right on that? 8 years, is it? It's around that time. It was around February, right? And one thing she talked about a lot, she talked about the marriage supper of the Lamb. I had many discussions with her about that, about the marriage supper of the Lamb. You're going to be at one of the best wedding receptions ever. Not taken away from anybody's wedding reception here, but yours is not, and again, don't misunderstand this, it's pale. That wedding reception is going to be outstanding. When we're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb, can you imagine what it's going to be like? And we, the bride of Christ right now, the church, is going to be united to our Lord, and we're going to see Him at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen? You looking forward to that wedding reception? See, we want to put a building up here one day, and we can have receptions right here. But I'm telling you, no matter how great our building is and how great the wedding receptions will be, it will be nothing compared to what we're going to have in heaven. And by the way, not taken away from anybody's wedding reception, because Don and I had a great one. It was. It really was. So, I'm looking forward to it. I was looking forward to that one too, but this is going to be good. Okay. So, we need to be careful. We don't get entangled with the affairs of this life. I know we live in this world. I know we can't escape it. We can't live in monasteries. We can't live in cloisters. But even if you lived in a monastery or cloister, you still have to deal with yourself. Right? No matter, you can't escape it. We are in this world. But the Bible makes it very clear in 1 John, which we're not going to cover tonight. We're going to cover it probably next week or the week after. 1 John 2:15-17. Let me just read what John says here. In 1 John 2:15-17, he says this: love not the world. Now, when he's talking about the world here, we have to remember to do what's called good translation. How many times can the world be used in the Bible? How many times? Different ways. Three. What's one of them? The world system. What's number two? Huh? Terra firma, the earth. Two. What's the third one? People. Because it says, for God so loved the world. That's the people, right? The beauty of the earth. That's the terra firma, as Reed said back there, the earth. The third is the system. You know what the system's like. You got to be careful with the system. We have to be careful we don't get wrapped up into the world's system. So that's what John is talking about here, the world system. He says here, love not the world, the system, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Let me just challenge all of us here. What do you love more than anything in your life? Or who do you love more than anything or anyone in your life? I hope the answer for everyone is the Lord Jesus Christ. Before our husbands or wives, before our children, before our parents, our love for Jesus Christ should be supreme. Not that we have a lesser love. I know Jesus used, if you don't hate your father and mother, right? What he means by that is the love for Christ has to be so supreme that every other love would seem very limited compared to that love for our Lord. So the love for Christ should be supreme. So it says here, he goes on, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. See, all these things are opposed to the world, to the Lord. They're of the world. And the world passes away. The system's going to pass away. Listen, that's why I say don't get wrapped into the system so much. I know we got to live in the world and the system has some, you know, effect on all of our lives. But we don't want to let the system just squeeze us into its mold. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he, listen to the last part of that, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen? Let's do the will of God. Let's serve the Lord. Amen. I know we're all affected by the system. One day the groaning is going to cease. There will be complete liberty and glory. We know we have an aspect of the liberty right now because Jesus came to set the captives free. We're liberated from our sins, and praise the Lord for that. But one day we're going to be liberated from the system. You and I know that. We faced it. Any of us that work in the world, and I worked for one of the best companies in the world, I think. Anybody ever heard of IBM? But it still was the system, no matter how great it was. And I appreciate it greatly that I was able to spend some time working there. But still, we got to be careful that we don't get wrapped into the system. Now, a foretaste of future deliverance. Let's go back to Romans. You know, it's always like a foretaste. A foretaste is something you have a little taste of it right now. And you and I have a little taste of it right now. And look at verse 22 and 23. For we know that the whole world groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. That's the aspect, the future aspect of adoption, the adoption of our body. We have the present aspect of the adoption, but notice what it says here in this verse 23. He's given us, which has given us the first fruits of the Spirit. The first fruits of the Spirit. When a person responds by faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, they are given the first fruits of the Spirit. You have a foretaste. You have what's called earnest. You know what an earnest is? A down payment. When you buy a house, sometimes you put a down payment. It's called earnest money. We have the down payment. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. Where does the Spirit of God live? In us. We have the Spirit of God. And praise the Lord for that. So we have the guarantee that we belong to Him. Because last week we shared, the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God or sons of God. Because when the Holy Spirit comes into your spirit, He cries, Abba, Father. And as a result of crying, Abba, Father, then there back in Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I can tell you emphatically here this morning, and probably everybody here, I hopefully can say the same thing that I'm going to say. I'm a believer. You know why I know that? Through God's Word and through the Spirit of God that lives within me. Because He's bearing witness with my spirit that I belong to Jesus Christ. Do you have that witness? Amen? That you belong to Jesus Christ? That you are His? And praise the Lord. It's not a question of being, you know, proudful. It's a question of being humility in Christ. And realizing the truth of the Lord God's Word. That what He says is absolutely true. I believe that Word of God 100%. The Bible makes it very clear. If a person trusts Jesus Christ and they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they have everlasting life. And amen for that. So, the Spirit is ministering on ours. The Spirit's ministry is a foretaste of what's to come. You have a joy and privilege almost to pull back the curtains to look. We were sharing this a little bit. Rick shared in the devotion yesterday at a men's study on the Word of God. And he had shared, and we all probably said the same thing to this. You remember before you were a believer? And you tried to read the Bible? Anybody ever try to do that? And you get a little ways into Genesis and you lay it down? And you say, I can't understand this. Right? Anybody have that? And then all of a sudden when you come to Christ, the Bible's the Bible, whether you believe it or not, or whether you know the Lord or not. But it does become illuminated to you. It becomes enlightened to you. He was sharing it this morning. Right? And in the Sunday school opening, Tom was sharing about, right, how he used to sing these songs or these hymns or these, read the Bible or this or that, right? What did it mean to you prior to it? Couldn't understand it. And he's a very intelligent man. Well, you know. Well, there's a little saying, I'm a fool for Christ, who's fool are you? You ever hear that one?
Amen.
Amen? So, but you know, he can understand it, we can understand it. When I say that, I'm not trying to elevate him, but we're all probably fairly intelligent, we can understand what we're reading, but it's not until the Holy Spirit illuminates your heart and it comes, it's like it jumps off the page. Amen? I remember when Don and I came to the Lord, and wow, I said, I couldn't believe that. That's in the Word of God. That's the Bible. Why didn't somebody tell me about this? Well, they might have tried to tell me about it, but I didn't have the Holy Spirit, and I wasn't illuminated yet by the Lord. And when He opens your heart, it's incredible what He does to you. Right? And you want more. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good, it says, the psalmist writes. It's great. It's wonderful when you see the Lord and hear the Lord and you come to the Lord. Okay, the Holy Spirit does that. And He gives us the blessings. And you know, we can look beyond this life. Yes, we live in this life and we will live in this life until God calls us. But we can look beyond it and see beyond it what's in store for us. It's a blessing. We have many blessings now, but we have so many blessings awaiting us in the future. We look forward to this. Praise God for that. And the completion of our redemption. You know, Don and I, as I said, we're over to see Irma Howard, and she's on comfort care. We've known her for years, Irma. She lives up where Louie lives, up there in Wells Manor. But she's over in Tenbrook. I'm not sure how many days she's got left. And her daughter and her talked openly about that happening. Okay, in front of us, right? And obviously pray that we want to get over there this early this week, coming up, either tomorrow or Tuesday, to have communion with her, to share with her, and encourage her. The one concern she has, and this is a good concern I'm sure we all have, it's not that she's afraid of dying, but who's going to be left behind. That would be my concern. I'm not afraid to go on. But what about my family? Okay? I want to make sure my family knows the Lord. Pray for them. Not just my immediate family. My two sons and my wife, of course, know the Lord. And their wives and children. And we thank the Lord for that. But you got to pray beyond that to others. That they need the Lord. That would be the concern that I have. When I get to heaven, obviously, I'm not going to be able to look back. Some people think you can look back and see what's happening here in heaven, on earth. You're not going to look back. You're going to be so wrapped up with Jesus Christ, you're not going to look back on anything. You're going to be looking to Him, right? So why would we want to be looking back when we're going to look forward in Him? So we got a lot to look forward to. So are we waiting patiently? He goes on here. He says, for we are saved by hope. Now, the word hope in the Bible is different from the word hope you often hear in the world today. A child may say, you know, I hope I get a bicycle for Christmas. In that hope, there's some uncertainty. Whenever you see hope in the Bible, it's talking about certainty, the blessed hope. The hope means confident expectation that something's going to happen. Do you have that hope? Huh? What's that verse there in Romans, Rick, about hope? You've quoted it. 15th. Let me just read it for you. Huh? Listen to this. In 15. God of hope. You got it?
Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Ghost.
Okay. Did you hear that? Now the God of hope. That's 15:13 of Romans. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope. Abound in hope means increasing in hope. Our hope is increasing. It's not diminishing. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, it's increasing. Listen, as we understand these things more and as we see these things more and as the Holy Spirit ministers in our heart, the hope should ever increase. It doesn't diminish. Sometimes you hear people say, I have no hope. Listen, as a believer in Jesus Christ, we have hope. We have confident expectation. We know that's going to happen. We're assured of it. Like that hymn I mentioned that Fanny Crosby wrote, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of what? Glory divine." There it is, a foretaste. You've got a foretaste of glory divine. You can almost peel back the curtains and see it. What you got in Christ. That's the hope we have. We're not a hopeless people, are we? We have all the hope in the world because we got a God of hope. We got a God of assurance. We got a God of trust. We have the best when we have Jesus Christ. When a person is saved, they have hope. Hope is confident expectation that what God has promised will occur. You believe that? That every promise that God says is going to happen, God never lies. When He says a promise and gives you a promise, all the promises it says in 2 Corinthians is yes, amen, in Christ. Praise the Lord for that. Hope is not something that means we already have it, but something that we can expect to happen and totally guaranteed. And praise the Lord for that. So that's what he says. Yes, while we go through tough times in life because we're living in a fallen world and we haven't yet experienced the adoption of our bodies, but we got that to look forward and that glorious day. Turn to 2 Corinthians. I want to leave enough time for the Lord's Supper here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I read these last week too. Verse 16 to 18. I love these verses. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians 4:16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish. The outward man is perishing. But look what the remainder of it says. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Day by day and with each passing moment. What do you think, Marion? I'm going to get the redemption of my voice. Praise the Lord. But I love that hymn. Day by day with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause to worry or to fear. He who's kind beyond all measure, right? And praise the Lord, day by day. Yes, the outward man is perishing, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. Notice verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And praise the Lord for that. I've used this illustration before in light of this past month, January. There was two great generals born in January. One was Robert E. Lee on the 19th, and the other was Stonewall Jackson. Thomas Jackson on the 24th. Stonewall Jackson was severely wounded at Chancellorsville on May 10th, I believe it was, 1863. He was wounded by his own troops on a renaissance going out in the evening, and he laid in his bed. Lee heard that he got his left hand and wounded severely. Lee said, Stonewall lost his left arm, but I lost my right arm. I firmly believe to this day that if Stonewall Jackson was at Gettysburg, the South would have won the Battle of Gettysburg, because he was a genius. He was only 39 years old. He was laying in his bed, and his wife came in. She said, Stonewall, Thomas, you're going to see the Lord today. And she told him he was going to go home to be with the Lord on the Lord's Day. He went home on the Lord's Day. As he lay there, he made a couple commands to A.P. Hill, who was another corps commander in the Southern Army. Made a couple commands to A.P. Hill. And then he said, I must cross the river and rest under yonder tree. He crossed the river and went home to see his Savior. You're going to see the Savior today. Amen? What an incredible expression of truth by his wife. Obviously, she would miss him, but she knew that he would be with the Lord. He was a strong, strong believer. Strong believer. He had a Sunday school class for blacks. You might say that sounds strange, him being a Southern general. But he was a man of faith, a man of trust. And he saw the Savior that day when he crossed the river. When you cross over, when I cross over and go to be with the Lord, it's going to be incredible. The best is yet to be. I don't know when the call will be on my life, and neither do you. But one thing I know for sure, what the Bible teaches, that we're going to be with the Lord. Do you have that assurance? Okay, everybody have that assurance? If you don't have that assurance, after we have the Lord's Supper, come up here, somebody will pray with you. Maybe you want to put a stake in the ground. Say, I want to make sure I know the Lord. I want to make sure. Don't waste your life on frivolous things. Give your life over to Jesus Christ. And that's the best. We got something far better coming. Not that this life is bad. I love living here and I love being a believer and I love serving the Lord in this life. But I know what awaits us is wonderful. The wait for the future deliverance. We look forward to the blessed hope, and that's what I'm going to end with. Titus 2:13. Titus 2:13, and then we're going to sing and then have the Lord's Supper. We're going to be singing At the Cross, 188. But look at Titus 2:13. Okay, listen to this as I read 2:13, Titus. Looking for that blessed hope. What are you looking for? We're looking for the blessed hope, right? Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? You're looking for the blessed hope? Okay, amen. Keep looking, for your redemption draweth nigh. We have something to look forward to. We don't have a dead-end street we're looking down. We have a glorious future we're looking forward to in Christ. Praise the Lord. And let us live our lives on this earth, no matter how long it is, for the glory of God, and serve the Lord, and be on fire for Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. You're on fire for the Lord, as my dear brother Ernie used to say, if you're on fire for the Lord, they'll come and watch you burn. Amen? So, hey, I'm so excited, I don't know what to do, so I got to stop. Amen? So this is good. This is so good, what we have in Jesus Christ. Amen? Give God the glory and praise. Lift up His holy name. Hallelujah. Amen. So, are you looking for the blessed hope? Hey, everybody here know Jesus Christ? If you don't know Him, come and receive Him today. The Bible says, to as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the children of God, even to those that believe on His name. Salvation is a gift of God's grace, not something we earn or work for, but it's also been provided by Christ when He died on the cross for our sins. And praise the Lord. There's nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Simply to Jesus Christ. I come. Here I am, Lord. And You did it all for me. If I was the only... Tom shared this again. If He's the only person in the world, right? He would have died for Tom or me or you or whoever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever. Amen. Amen? You got it? Listen, yes, our bodies groan. We go through tough times. But praise the Lord that God's grace is sufficient now, and we have a lot to look forward to in the future. And let us uphold our brothers and sisters, encourage our brothers and sisters, and come alongside one another and help them. Because in that passage that talks about Jesus coming, it says, encourage one another with these words. Encourage one another. Lift up one another. Help one another. And we're in it together. But praise the Lord, we'll go into the kingdom together too. Amen? Hand in hand. Glory in God. Praising the Lord. All through eternity. Lifting up Jesus Christ. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. We give all Him the praise and the glory and lift Him up mightily. Amen? And when I see that table in front of me, I think of what Jesus Christ did for me and for you. John 15:13. Who knows it? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Greater love, our Lord, for you, for me, laid his life down so we could be free and have salvation in him. Praise God. Let's come to the table with a heart of joy and praise unto our Savior and our Lord for all that he's done. Amen. Tom?